this workshop by reading. The format of this workshop is a little different than some of the other ones. Our speaker is going to share, and then he is going to open it up for question and answer, so you guys can talk to him about the services and structure. So, with that.
Okay. I would like now to introduce our speaker. It is Craig R. from the Montco area of the Eastern PA region.
I'm an ag named Craig. Hey, everybody. So, first of all, I want to thank the programming committee for the convention asking me to come out and be a part of this workshop, give me an opportunity to give something back to Narcotics Anonymous, give me an opportunity to share information about something going on, but just most importantly, just giving me a chance to be a part of and just to be of service to Narcotics Anonymous. And my recovery has been built around the idea that to whom much is given, much is expected. So when I have an opportunity to give back to Narcotics Anonymous, if I can, I do, where and in many different ways. So this is just another one of those opportunities that I have a chance to stand up and be a member of this fellowship and be a responsible citizen of this fellowship and give something back. So thank you to the programming committee. The topic of this workshop is the Service System Project. How many people in here have heard of the Service System Project? Great, that's good to hear, or good to see. And a couple of people here, friends of mine, that haven't, but it all works out. And what I want to do is, the other question was, how many people went to part one Service System Project yesterday, I think? Okay, good. I was not in attendance at part one, so whatever I don't want to repeat what other people have said, and I don't know what happened in part one, but what this particular session is about is sharing information about this project and, as Rasheem alluded to, taking time to answer any questions that anyone in the audience might have. But not just questions, comments or input. Because from my experience as someone that's been involved with this project, any type of input that comes back, whether you send it in or not, I'm listening because I want to make sure that other people hear that input. My experience with the Service System Project is, just to give you some background information of where my perspective comes from, I was the lead person, I was the leader of the work group that formulated these ideas and that put this information together on behalf of World Service and on behalf of the World Service Conference. I served 12 years on the World Board, including chairperson of the World Board, and before being elected to the board in 1998, I was the World H&I chairperson. So I've been involved with some aspects of service at World Service since 1992. And so some of my perspective comes from that, and some of it comes from my experience in my region and my area and my home group. But as it relates to this project, I've been the leader of the work group for the past 4 years. This was a project itself that was approved by the World Service Conference in 2008 to address some problems that had been going on in our service environment much earlier than 1998 or 2008 when this project was formed. And what I want to also point out to people so I won't forget about it is, while I'm here sharing this information, everything is available to anybody in the fellowship that wants to go read about it themselves. Because I always tell people, whether I'm in a home group or any type of setting, my sponsees, for instance, what I share with people is, you know, don't believe everything. I mean, yeah, of course believe what comes out of my mouth, because I'm not going to lie to you. But don't believe everything that everyone says. Do your homework. Go read it for yourself. Form your own opinion, your own experience, your own perspective on things going on in our fellowship, not just around service, but around recovery in the 12 steps. For instance, you know, going over a six-step with one of my sponsees, and we're talking about shortcomings and character defects, and, you know, he wants me to give him all the answers to everything around that step. And I would tell him, no, because that's my experience. What I want you to do is to look up some of the words for yourself in the dictionary and start forming your own perspective on what the sixth step means for you in your recovery. And don't go by what I say. This is just my experience. So as it relates to this project, everything from some of the information that I'm going to share today about where we've been, how we got to where we are, and where we're going is on NA.org. And you can go to our home site, our website, and from that home page, you can navigate to all of this information because it's been out there, as I said, since the project was formulated in 2008. And there's just a lot of information that I would encourage people to go dig up and read for yourself. As I was alluding to, some of the problems that this project hoped to address, and I'm gonna give some examples so that maybe, you know, you guys can relate to some of the things that I'm talking about. Some of the problems that we've had in our service environment over the years is communications. I believe that our program in general, our fellowship in general, is misinformed, uninformed, and disinformed. And some of that comes from communications. As an example, how many times have any one of you sat in an area service meeting or regional service meeting, and you were just there, just interested member, sitting there, taking note of, and, you know, you had a group service rep, the GSR, from your home group, and then you come back to the home group business meeting, and what the GSR reported on and what happened at that meeting that you were sitting at is two different things. And you wonder, were we in the same meeting? That's not what was said. But that person is the group service rep. And so you wonder sometimes how our communications gets off sometimes. And not intentionally, just sometimes our communications and our service environment is not active or efficient. Another one of those issues that we're trying to address with this project is having a lack of trusted servants in completing our service responsibilities. And what that means is I'm a believer that we have more than enough people in our fellowship. What we need is more willing people. Why is it that we do less with more? Our fellowship is much larger, a more diverse fellowship than it was when I first got clean. As an example, in the area that I lived in when I first got clean, in Raleigh, North Carolina, I've been clean 25 years, and I got clean in 1987, and we had 14, 15 H&I commitments that our area service H&I committee was responsible for. And we had one meeting per week. Our fellowship was small, much, much less diverse than it is today. And today, in that same area, they might have 7 or 8 facilities that they go to. But we have more people. So that's an example of what I mean by why is it that we do less with more people? And so one of the things that we want to try to address is putting processes and techniques and things in place that our service environment is more attractive than it is today. And maybe doing some things a little different, then people will get involved, stay involved, people that have been around as long as I have or much longer than I have are still involved, and just doing things to make our service environment a little more attractive. Some of the input that we've gotten back over the years is that some people don't want to get involved with service because you go to the area service committee and there's a lot of fussing and a lot of turmoil and things going on that doesn't really paint an attractive picture for people to get involved. So we're trying to look at some ways to do some of those things better and to put some processes and techniques in place. Duplication of efforts. And what that means is we have service bodies, some very close to one another geographically, doing the same thing, trying to serve the same general NA community. We have a 1-800 number here and a 1-800 number here, when practicality says sometimes that maybe we could just use 1-800 number and save money and not duplicate those efforts. So those are just a few of the primary examples of why this project was put together. This is input that has come in workshops through the years, more than 15, 20 years, from members about some of the frustrations in service and some of the things they would like to see addressed to find out, essentially, can we do better? Can we do some things better? And can we carry our message that much further? Our fellowship as a whole is not the same fellowship that it was in the mid-1980s, the late 70s. We are a much larger, much diverse fellowship than we were back then. And we have same program, same principles, more people, and more challenges in delivering services and carrying our message. So we want to try to do something about those problems and old problems using new solutions. And so what happened was our regional delegates that come to the World Service Conference every 2 years. They came to the World Board and said, we have these problems. Help us. What can we do to address some of these issues? Another reason that was a primary motivator behind this project is that World Service changed back in 1998. We were at one point, I mentioned that I served as the World H&I chairperson. We had standing committees at World Service, the same standing committees that we have throughout our areas and regions. Back in the mid-1990s, World Service changed and restructured. We went to One World Board. We established a World Service Conference every 2 years. We changed some processes as a result of an inventory that was taken that addressed that duplication of efforts and really just World Service not serving our groups effectively. The problem with that is that the rest of the service system didn't change. And so there was a disconnect created where you have one part of our service structure here, World Service, doing things one way, and the other part of the structure that World Service serves through home groups, area, region, and World Service, and that being that big disconnect. And so this project is trying to address some of those problems, some of those disconnects, and try to put our fellowship as it relates to service on a much more effective path where we can carry our message that much further. So this project was approved in 2008 at the World Service Conference. It was then again approved again in 2010, and it was meant to address these issues and look at ways of involving more people. One of the first things that happened as a result of this project was a new vision statement, the NA vision, or the vision statement for NA service that was approved back in 2008. Some of you might remember that. That was in the conference agenda report. That was one of the first things that was created and approved by the fellowship. And the bottom line was that we had a vision statement that related to World Service that other areas and regions were duplicating and creating their own vision statements. And it just dawned on many of us that, you know, NA service is just not about World Service. It's about our entire area, region, and World Service. So what was needed was a vision statement for all of Narcotics Anonymous and not just World Service. And that's where that vision statement came from. So that brings us up to, it actually takes us to 2010. In 2010, there were resolutions that were passed in the conference agenda report. Straw polls taken. They weren't motions. They were, and it wasn't a conference approval report. It was a conference approval track. But these were resolutions that were put out to our fellowship asking, You know, what do you think about some of these ideas that I'm going to get to in a few minutes? And the majority of people said that they may not agree with everything that was in those resolutions and some of the ideas, but they agreed in principle that there were some improvements needed, and here was possibly a way to facilitate some of those approvals and some of those improvements. So that information was passed in 2010. This brings us to where we are right now, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the project itself and some of the ideas and some of the real main ideas behind some of these or the principles behind some of these ideas. When we started looking at our service environment, there are like four things that really stick out in service in Narcotics Anonymous: people, processes, resources, and structure. And it doesn't matter whether we're talking home group, whether we're talking area service, regional service, or world service, some parts or all of those four elements are key to us carrying our message. If we don't have enough people, or if we don't have enough willing people, our services suffer. You know, and I'm not asking for an answer back, but think about your own area and your own home group when we don't have people willing to fulfill certain service responsibilities, H&I, PI, and the things that we do to carry our message, and they go unfilled for months at a time. Or sometimes we select people that, maybe not that. I believe that everybody in this room and everybody in our fellowship has worth and something to offer. What I don't believe about myself is that I believe that I'm better at some service responsibilities than I am at others. Just as I'm good at doing some things that and some things that I'm not that good at doing. So if we don't sometimes put the right people in the right responsibilities, they may not do as well. And there's some disadvantages that come from that. Resources. And I'm not just talking financial resources. While our financial resources and our seventh tradition and our contributions go a long ways, I'm talking human resources at the same time. Processes. You can take all those things and put them in place and have a non-effective process or policy, and none of that really works well. So all of those things kind of work together. And those were some of the things that we identified very early that need to be addressed and thought about. How can we carry our message better and further? And what are some of the things that we can do to not only help the fellowship in 2013 and 2014, but think about the addicts that hadn't gotten here yet, that are counting on us, that don't even know they're on their way to Narcotics Anonymous. And I think about service in my own area when I got clean. The first home group that I had in Narcotics Anonymous, I found that group through the daily newspaper. Somebody had enough foresight and enough compassion and caring that they put the meeting list in the newspaper. And that's how I found my home group. And so those kind of things, when I talk about processes and people and resources and improving services. So what's some of the main ideas that have been presented to our fellowship, and we've gathered some support from people to move forward on? I want to talk first about areas and what some of these changes that we've been discussing. And here's the other thing. Nothing is written in stone. Nothing has been decided. These are just some ideas that people have been supporting, and they see some value and saying, hey, okay, that might work. You know, there may be something we can get out of that, something my home group can benefit from that. So some of the input that we've gotten back over the years, let me keep up with the time, is that as it pertains to area service, we've had people come in for years that describe going to area service, and the focus is on H&I, PI, those other subcommittees with little or no focus on the home group. And if our home groups is the most important vehicle for carrying our message, it makes sense to me and a lot of other people that we need to focus on our home groups. And we need to strengthen our groups. And we need to put things in place to make sure that those meetings are there and conducted every day or every week on time, that when people come in, they feel welcome, that our home groups are strong. Because without strong home groups, the rest of our service system is ineffective. Because that's where recovery really happens at. Yeah, we're having a great time at this convention, and I'm enjoying it, and I hope you guys are, and the message is being carried, and we're networking and fellowship. But the real deal is my recovery happens in my home group. And that's where I really recover at, is in that home group. So we want to do things to strengthen that. So one of the ideas that have been put forward is that the Area Service Committee today has two primary functions. Some focus on our home groups, and some focus on the subcommittees that we put together and delegate service responsibilities to. What the service system proposals suggest is that we split those functions up, that we create what's called a group support unit that focuses totally on the home group. No motions, no Robert's rules of orders, a neighborhood type group where we can all come together and home groups can come and members can share experience, strength, and hope, with the focus on my home group and the focus on what we can do better to carry our message in our home group. Those other functions of H&I, PR, PI would be dealt with over here. And you would split those responsibilities up, and then you would have a total focus on the group and another focus on those subcommittees and carrying our message through the subcommittees. That's the primary change that's being suggested locally at Area Service. The other, those H&I committees or PR subcommittees, they would function in what's called a local service unit, that their total focus would be on carrying the message through those service subcommittees and work groups. They wouldn't be meeting every month. Right now, typically, most areas meet every month. So who's to say we need to meet every month? Who's to say we can't do those things every other month, every 2 months? Things that fit your area, things that fit your community, and take us out of this cookie cutter approach where everything has to be the same. One size doesn't fit all. In other words, each of our INA communities are different. Different resources, different culture, different demographics, different levels of maturity. Some communities have been around for 20 plus years. Some communities are newer. Just smaller communities, rural communities, urban communities, just differences. And so what the proposal suggests is that we build the service around the community rather than the other way around. And that we let communities and we give communities the tools and processes to fit this, to create the services that fit their community, and to not try to force them into a box that they don't necessarily fit in or even want to be in, but that we create that flexibility where people have those choices. And so that local service unit, those H&I committees and those subcommittees would meet every other month, and I'm throwing that every other month out as an example. They would meet every other month. They would have, that body would have an administrative body like we have today, chair, vice chair, secretary, treasurer, those kind of responsibilities that the area have now, and they would be responsible for that level of service, and they would take care of it, and all of it would be local. Some of the other ideas that we put forth based on input from the fellowship is looking at some foundational principles for our service system. Here are a few of them. That our services be purpose-driven. And what that means is, too many times, we just do things without no real purpose. Sounds good. Okay, let's do it. No kind of thought out process for, you know, is this a good idea? Who is it going to impact? Do we have the money to do that? Just because it sounds like a good idea, is that really something that our area or group needs to be doing right now? Those kind of things. That's what purpose-driven means. Geographically defined. What that meant, I come from, my home group is in the Monco area in Pennsylvania. Our area associates with the Eastern PA region. The home groups in Montgomery County are in that area. We have some areas and NA communities that are split between different counties, geographical counties. So what we're suggesting is one of the ideas that would help improve communications and help people find us better is if we define our services based on legally and established geographical boundaries, city, county. All the NA groups in a particular established county, think about where you live and what county you live in. So what that means is all those NA groups in that particular county, they would make up that local service committee. That would impact some counties and cities, some it wouldn't. For my area, the Montgomery County, it wouldn't impact us at all because that's the way we're already established. Some others, it would mean some change. And so those are some of the things that we're talking about. Collaboration. What that means is just working together better. And working together in that when we have ideas about carrying our message, that we take other groups, other areas, other service bodies into consideration before we do it. That we have that communications and working together because our common welfare comes first. And doing things to make sure that we're doing things on behalf on what's best for Narcotics Anonymous as a whole and not what's just best for my home group or my area. Consensus-based decision-making. Here's another one that when we talk about foundational principles and some of the things that might help is looking at, instead of being strictly by Robert's rules of orders, having consensus-based decision-making built into some of our processes and the ways that we do things. And looking at communication, and not just communication. Communication just doesn't mean I talk to you, you share back with me. What it means is how we treat one another. It means that when we come into a service body, that we don't leave our recovery principles at the front door. That we can agree without being disagreeable. That it's somewhere in our literature, and it works high and wide, talks about we are survivors of the same fatal catastrophe. It talks about greeting each other that way. What I'm suggesting today is that we not only greet each other that way, we treat each other that way. And that when we're in the service body, why is it that if I disagree with Penny, if we're in a recovery meeting, I don't get all in her face, she's entitled to her opinion, but we come into a service body, that changes. You know, and so consensus-based decision-making is just not about communication is two-way. It's about how we treat one another and how we can do those things better. The other principle is around flexibility, and I hit on that a little bit. So local service delivery is about group support unit. We use the acronym GSU, and then the other one is local service unit, LSU. And we can talk more about it, but I'm gonna try to move us on because I am running out of time. Right now, the other major change, if you want to call it that, it is right now we are structured area, region, world service. We have, in the state of Pennsylvania, for instance, we have four regions in the state of Pennsylvania. There's duplication of efforts and duplication of service. There is lack of effective communications. What one of the ideas that has been put forth is that we have, instead of multiple regions, that we have one statewide unit in the state of Pennsylvania and those states that have multiple regions. Maryland is one of those states with multiple regions. And so the idea behind that is that if we merge together and bring our services together, we would immediately eliminate some of that duplication of effort and duplication of service. We could improve communications. We could help those outside entities like the Department of Corrections and different agencies outside of NA that refer people to our program. We could help them discern and identify where we are. As an example, we sometimes work with in the city of Philadelphia, we work with the mayor's office. There are 8 areas in the city of Philadelphia. 8. And so we go to the mayor's office and he wants to know about Narcotics Anonymous, and we give him a name of one of those areas, and the first thing he says is, "Where's that on a map? Where is that? I've never heard of that." And so what we're saying is, if we were geographically defined, when we talk to those outside entities, because what they're interested in is Narcotics Anonymous. So think about this for the state of Pennsylvania. Instead of referring or directing them to the tri-state region or the eastern Pennsylvania region or the greater Philadelphia region or the mid-Atlanta region, where we would direct them to is NA Pennsylvania, NA Maryland. And so we would be working better together as a group, and we would create locally where services really delivered at, not at region, but at home. And we would create those statewide units. In the United States of America, that would only affect 16 regions as we know it. Most of our regions today are already established along geographical boundaries. We have those exceptions like New York, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Texas, Ohio, California, some of the large states. We also have smaller states northeast of Maryland and Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, some of those Vermont, some smaller states that have no region. And here's the other thing about, and I'm going to move on. Here's another thing about an advantage if we were one statewide unit instead of multiple regions. Contrary to popular belief, there are some communities in Maryland. I'm going to stick to Pennsylvania. That's what I'm most familiar with. There are some communities in Pennsylvania that aren't being served. But because human nature says, I usually only see what's right in front of me. I only deal with what I know. And so if you went to a statewide unit in Pennsylvania, it would give us an opportunity to identify those areas in Pennsylvania that have no Narcotics Anonymous, where we could focus on and make sure that we work to develop and grow Narcotics Anonymous in those communities. Because this whole thing, it doesn't matter where you stand at on it or what your perception is or opinion of it is, this whole thing is about carrying our message further and making sure that people know about Narcotics Anonymous. Not just us, but the people, as I said, that hadn't gotten here yet. Making sure the public knows about Narcotics Anonymous and not sitting on where we are today, but to try to continually improve and to more successfully carry our message. It's really about fulfilling our vision statement. and those bullets that are in our vision statement. It also means some of these ideas that are being put forth is that there's a lot of discussion that has to happen. So the other thing that will come from this is, I don't know how many people in here are familiar with the World Service Conference, but what happens is every couple of years, we have regional delegates that attend the World Service Conference on our behalf. They're delegated from our home groups to the area to region. They represent all of us. And they're at the World Service Conference on our behalf. And one of the things that would happen as a benefit is that some of those numbers would drop, because the World Service Conference today is not the way it used to be. How many people have been clean long enough to remember when the conference agenda report was about as thick as a phone book? You know, and 80 and 90 motions. Some of those motions had nothing to do with my home group. Had nothing to do with us carrying the message in our home group. But that's just the way that things were done. And that process brought us to where we are today. But we're a much different fellowship in many ways. And so the World Service Conference has moved away from this motion-driven body into a more discussion-based body, where we come together and we have discussions and small group, and we talk about how we can better carry our message around the world and some of the issues going on in our NA communities and what we can do together to help those NA communities. So one of the things that would come from going to a statewide unit and not having as many regions as we have today is that it would make that body more manageable. Practicality says that you could have a more effective discussion with a room of 75 to 100 people versus a room of 200 people. And that we could better have those discussions about what we can do at home and how we can really carry the message. Because service, in effect, service happens at home. Service doesn't happen at the World Service Conference. Yeah, our regions do some service on our behalf and do some things, but service, direct service, those people that hadn't gotten here, happens at home. It happens in our H&I panels. It happens in our phone lines when people like me pick up a newspaper and find a meeting in the newspaper. It happens when someone calls our phone line and is in desperate need and trying to get clean and looking for a way out, and people on the other end talk to them about Narcotics Anonymous. That's where service really happens at, and that's where we want to try to put more of a focus at. There are two things going on in this year, and I'm going to wrap this up because there's no way that in an hour and a half that I can cover all the information. I want to give anyone that may have some questions or input time. Right now, what's going on is that we've taken some of these ideas that we put forth, and we're trying to put them to use and actually trying to put those theories to practice and see how it works. And so what's happened throughout our fellowship is that we've had some NA communities, some areas step forth and said, we will take some of these ideas and we will place them in our NA community, in our area, and we will see how they work. Because right now they're theories. They're just on paper. You know, it's just like our steps, or I believe the steps of our program are. I write my steps. That's the way I was taught. And now we have a step writing guide that helps me with that. But if I just write and write and write and answer the questions, and I don't take any of what I learned from that and apply it, it's just information. That's all it is. And so right now, everything that we put forth over the past 4 years, it's just information and theories and ideas and changes in processes. But some of the communities have volunteered to take that information and put it to use and apply it and see how it really works. And they're giving input back to, okay, that sounded good on paper, but here's what this is what really happened in reality. And here's the input that they're giving back to the World Service Conference over the next 2 years. We also have a lot of different issues like regional service offices, how we're going to handle that. If a prime example is local service delivery. If the areas as we know them today, instead of meeting every month, if they go to meeting every other month, how will home groups get their literature? Some areas pick up their literature at an area service committee. How will my home group give a contribution to area if we meet every other month? These are just some examples of discussions going on and on how we can do those things. Just because we've always done it that way doesn't mean that we can't do it different. We just got to come together and figure out how we can do it. So those are some of the discussions that are going on over the next 2 years. And some of those communities that have volunteered to be field testers and actually testing some of these things out are going to feed that discussion. They're going to tell us, this is what we did. We went to every other month. We don't meet our GSRs. They don't come to area every month now. They come every other month. At the beginning of the service year, we have a service assembly. Our home groups decided what the budget is. They decided what services are going to be delivered. They took all that information and put it to work in their area. They did away with what they were doing, and they put this in its place. And over the next 2 years, they're giving us feedback as to how it worked. And so in 2014, all of that information is going to be fed back to you. This is what happened over the past 2 years. And then we're going to see. And the World Board and World Service has been delegated the responsibility to put it together and to come back with some sort of transition plan. How can we go from point A to point B? How long will this take? What are the changes that need to make in the original ideas? So, I've tried to give enough information that you guys have some general idea of what's going on or what's been going on over the past 4 years, how we got to this point, some of the problems that we're trying to address, some of the problems that you and I see every single day in NA service, and where we're going from here. And how you can play a role in that. Every single person sitting in this workshop has something to offer. And we want to hear your input. Because your input might save us from making a mistake or might even help us improve upon some of the ideas. A lot of people will say, and it's valid, my area is doing just fine. Why do we need to change? My home group is doing just fine. Our region is doing just fine. But the reality of it, that is not the case throughout Narcotics Anonymous. And our common welfare comes first. When my area is strong, hopefully if some of these ideas come into practice, we'll all get better. And we'll all carry our message that much further. So I want to thank all of you for listening. I would encourage you again, go to NA.org. On the home page, the tab that says events, you can go to the World Service Conference and you can find this project under that link. Everything about this project, from the way it was conceived, some of the ideas, everything that we did, is there for you to read at your leisure and come to your own perspectives, ask other people about it, and get involved and let us hear from you. So I appreciate you guys listening. We've got, in this workshop, we've got about 25 minutes. So I want to, again, thank you for listening and thank you. If you have any questions or input and you want to be recorded, you can either ask me and I'll repeat the question, or you can come up yourself so you can be recorded. Totally up to you.
I'm an addict named George.
Hey, George.
From Richmond, Virginia. We have the distinct problem of having four areas. One of them, luckily, doesn't belong to the region. And we have a unified meeting list. The unified meeting list goes on the web once a month. The unified meeting list is handed out in the area services once a month, except for one area which is real tight, and they only print it every other month for their people. My problem is, in Virginia, which has independent cities, no city is part of a county. So we would end up with three areas because the city would have an area, the city's mighty small, and the two counties would have an area. And if they don't meet but every other month, then how are we going to deliver the meeting schedules to them? Or should we just allow people who are not computer savvy to print out their own meeting list and take them to the print shop and pay for it themselves? But if we print them, they are much cheaper than if they print them individually. So the problem is how are you going to get any of this to work when you, in our case, you have to split up to meet the goal, and then you don't meet but every other month. I also believe that in some of our home groups, they don't provide enough money to the area service to pay for the 20 meeting lists they get per month. But that's a local problem. You can't tell someone what to do with their money. But how are we going to continue to deliver meeting schedules? I know how we can do it electronically, but how are we going to give the paper copies to people? Or is that just one of the benefits of this new program? Thank you.
Thanks, George.
Thanks for asking that, George, because everything that you said, mostly everything you said, rather other than that local problem around the contributions, is exactly some of the things that we have to talk through. Because we are accustomed to, whether it's a meeting list being delivered every month, because my area does the same thing. We print local area meeting lists, and they are folded and picked up at that local or that monthly meeting. And so what some other regions and some areas have told us, some of the things that they're doing, because it's the same thing around contributions, that GSRs bring the home group contribution every month. And so some of the ideas that have been put forth is that the local service by the local service board, that chairperson, vice chair, secretary, that administrative body meets every month. And so those, their contribution can be given to them, can be dropped off to them. Those meeting lists can be dropped off to them. There is a service body that is still meeting every month, and that they can make that happen. They've also talked about meeting lists being delivered to the group support unit. As an example, if my area had a group support unit, it's a neighborhood group, it's all neighborhood based, it's very informal, it might be that group support unit might be made up of 10 to 15 home groups. Those meeting lists can be delivered wherever we meet at. Contributions from those home groups can be recorded and taken up right there. I mean, it was at least five or six different ideas that came from people as to, okay, we don't meet every month. All right, let's think through that for a second. Yeah, we're used to doing that. Oh, but we could do this. And when people start really talking through it, they came up with just some practical ways to do the same thing. So there are ways to accomplish the things that you described. So I hope that helped.
Thank you. I'm going to disappear to PI.
Thanks, George.
I'm going to ask Scott and Craig, Scott. Thank you for
all your work on the service system project. I'm on record in my home group, in my area, in my region, that I'm not a fan of the service system project, and I have positions in all of those. And you touched on a lot of things here today. However, again, if you're the what you just said is okay, and I know this is all supposition. The GSUs meet every 2 months, but in order to do the necessary things to make them strong, they would have to meet every month by delivering meeting lists to this place where you're having a neighborhood meeting, taking the money from the neighborhood meeting. Why don't you just continue with area service every month? You're taking a portion of area service and saying, okay, well, we can do all these things every month, but just have the big meeting every other month. There is no way for literature to get delivered. We buy our literature every month at area service. Our area, the Central Maryland area, works pretty good. The groups get their information in. They talk about group problems. The subcommittees give their report. You know, the money is all accounted for, everything like that. I know it doesn't happen everywhere like that. This region that we're holding this convention in works pretty good. We generate money, we donate it to the world, we've got active members, and we do incorporate parts of Maryland, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. There are problems, you know, with NA and with things, but I don't see how this service system project is going to make that any better. If you divide groups and service bodies into meeting at different times and different places, how are the service bodies going to get the members from the groups to help them? If you are short, if you're looking for H&I members and you're meeting the same day as the groups are meeting, you have your service meeting, and you say, well, we've got 10 positions open in H&I, then that's 2 more months until that information gets back to the groups. Therefore, an H&I subcommittee that needs people, they are talking to the PI people. They're talking to the other service groups on their problems, where the other service groups don't have the answer to their problems. The groups have the answer to their problems. That's where you get the people from, the home groups. You say the whole reason for this is to make the home group stronger, yet the home group is losing its voice in the new service system project. The home group is meeting on the group level every other month. How is that making it stronger? That's giving addicts 2 months to hold on to the home group money as opposed to a month. You know, addicts and money, not a good thing. You know what I mean? Money gets stolen every month. I guarantee that. You know, you get it. It just the proposed solutions, and I know they're only proposals. And I have addressed this at Marlikna, I believe with you, with some other people. I just don't see this being the solution. And, you know, if an area is having problems at their area service because the group's problems aren't being addressed at area service, let that area decide that. Let the people in that area make that change. That change shouldn't be coming down from World Services. World Services answers to the groups. The groups do not answer to World Services. And this whole idea of the Service System Project was brought on actually by the World Board, the World Services, to deal with apathy in service of Narcotics Anonymous. That was the question that you all were asked to look into. And it has been voted on for the last few cycles of the World Service Conference. But what was voted on was to continue in this process. You know, you have never said, this is what we're doing, do you want to vote on this? It was like, it's been a flowing thing. And, you know, and it has been, and now it has come down to like, this is it, because that's how it's going to show up at the car, but it's still going to be a flowing thing, you know? If the city of Philadelphia, if the mayor of the city of Philadelphia has a difficult time in finding which area of the four different areas in Philadelphia serve his needs, and those areas in that region are no longer going to be an area in a region because the Service System Project does away with areas and regions. You want to have a state body on an 800 number, and somebody from that office calls the 800 number for Narcotics Anonymous, Pennsylvania, and that call is answered by an addict in Pittsburgh who happens to be on that phone at that time. How is he going to give them any better information? Because he's going to be, I have no idea what the hell is going on in Philadelphia.
I got the responses.
You know? And I haven't heard some responses, so I'm glad that you have some. But I don't see how this makes the home groups any stronger, how it makes services any stronger, how it makes Narcotics Anonymous stronger to, you know, the members that are here and the members that are already going to be, or that are coming. I do know that in the state of Maryland, there is an area that's working on this. The area never voted to do this. That area never voted. That was never a group vote. There was no vote taken. The RD brought that back and said, I think we should do this. The RD isn't even a member of the Baltimore area. And the Baltimore area can work part of this out because they don't buy their literature. Their groups don't buy their literature at Area Service. They buy it from the service center. So that takes a whole portion of what may be not, you know, a problem out of their test. You know what I mean? Because most areas don't have that capability. So those are some questions I have, some concerns I have, and I will cede the floor to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, I'm going to wait for Scott to sit down for a sec. Thanks for asking all that, Scott, and sharing your concerns and input. I want to address the big one right away because there were several small ones in there. Because the idea that you described about this coming down from World Service down to our groups is a misstatement. And that's not true. And here's why it's not true. This was a project that was approved through at the World Service Conference. The idea, the impetus, the authorization, the delegation, the empowerment to the World Board to do this didn't come from the board. It came from the regional delegates. Here's who the regional delegates represent: me and you and your home group. So to say that it came from World Service down to our home groups is not a true statement. It came from the regional delegates. The delegates asked the board to do this, to take this on. Over the years, the problems and the input for all of these problems didn't come from World Services. It came from us as a fellowship. We're the ones that said, we're having these problems. What can we do about it? Every single workshop that's been put on, whether Maryland or across the United States or across the world, wherever, over the past, that I've been involved with the World Board over the past, since 1998, the very first thing that's always been said is when we stood in front of the fellowship and said, what problems are you guys having? The override number one problem is, we don't have enough people. We don't have enough people to do service. Our service positions are gone unfulfilled. The apathy that you spoke about. Every single workshop. And so it got to the point where at the World Service Conference, when we're talking about workshop, because we're talking about problems affecting NA as a whole, they said, I'm using my words and paraphrasing, they said, here is the problem. Go fix it. Do something. Bring us some ideas back on what we can do better. So the idea didn't originate with World Service. The delegation to bring back some solution came from the regional delegates to the board, because the board reports directly to the World Service Conference. And the World Service Conference is made up of our regional delegates. So that's the first big myth or miscommunications or misrepresent, whatever you want to call it. The other thing is, and I'm going to do this real quick, what you were describing about those groups and how they're going to do this and do that if they're on the meeting, and how, and you touched on H&I, and I'm an H&I kind of guy, and so I'm going to go with your example. In the Hospitals and Institutions Area Subcommittee, the answers to our problems don't come from the home groups. The answers to our problems come from the committee and us working together. Any member of our fellowship can do H&I as long as you meet the criteria that we have around clean times and being on panels. It's not delegated to a specific home groups or home group. It's open to the entire fellowship. So when we're meeting as a subcommittee, we don't have GSR representatives from home groups. We have members of Narcotics Anonymous. They may happen to belong to a certain home group. And so we're working together. It's not dictated or it's not determined by a particular home group. So that was the first thing. The other thing is that some of those...
Where you get your people from?
Absolutely. Resources. But meeting every month, Scott... Meeting every month does not determine where those resources come from. It doesn't. It's determined by people that want to be involved and willing to be involved and making sure that they have that information. And we don't have to, again, this is all in perspective and your opinion and those kind of things. But another idea, another perspective is, do we really need to meet every month to make that happen? That's all we're at. Do we really need to meet every month to know that the H&I subcommittee in Monco meets every third Sunday at 10:30 a.m.? If you want to be involved with H&I, be at the subcommittee meeting. Does the area need to meet every month to make that happen? No. All I need to do is show up at 10:30, because that's when the H&I subcommittee meets. And the thing about the lastly part, because I know I can't address all that, Scott, and I'm not going to try to, I've been given my notice, is that let me paint this picture. Here's a typical area in this project with the service system. The service year goes from January to December 31st. In January, there's a meeting, a big meeting, assembly held. All of the home groups, the GSRs are there. Any interested member, anybody who wants to come, comes to that meeting in January, the first meeting of the year. The home groups dictate what services are going to be delivered for the entire year. It's not the other way around. It's the home groups that are saying, at that meeting, they're going to say, for 2013, here's the services that we won't deliver. Not only are they going to say, here's what they won't deliver, as an example, how many times have any one of you gone to the area and said, who told them to do that? Where did that dictation come from? How did our home group make that decision? Not only that, we get stuck into doing stuff year after year after year after year without nobody evaluating, is this still what our home groups want from us? So at the beginning of the year, the home groups are going to decide and dictate what services are going to be done. And then it's up to that local service body to carry out those services through subcommittees and work groups and the established budget and the priorities. That stuff happens in January. And then during every other month, that local service body will make sure all of that stuff happens. That's a real quick and dirty way to describe it, because I know a couple of other people have questions and we're running out of time. But it can be done. It can be done. And other people, all home groups in all areas don't order, and they don't pick up their literature from area service. My home group orders directly from World Service or from the regional service office, and the literature is delivered to the GSR's home. I mean, there's different ways that this happens. It's just not home groups picking up their literature at area service. People do things differently than that. So, you ready?
Question?
Yeah.
What about Condition 9? Remember that one?
Do you have a question? And the question is, what's your name first? Hey, Mike.
What's your name? I'm sorry.
Craig.
Craig, nice to meet you, Craig.
You too, Mike. Well, I mean, what's the question? You said, what about tradition? I'm asking you, what about it?
About being organized? Sounds like putting people into states and organizing them by states. I'm sure I could find a synonym that where you wouldn't have to use the word organized for it, but you just wanted to use the word dictate several times, and you're going to, if this works for these what we would call a pilot program in certain areas, then you're going to suggest, I guess, that all areas decide to do this way and meet every other month. What happened with home groups being autonomous and what that's about with respect to NA as a whole? I mean, you know, there's another tradition. I'm not really big on all the traditions. I don't know. We can't quote them exactly. But there's another one that says something about creating service boards and committees that are directly responsible.
It's the same tradition,
right.
Tradition 9.
Here's the deal. The problem is the same thing going on now, right here, with NA, that human beings do all the time. They're trying to fix the right problem with the wrong method. And if you got a problem with the message is getting to psychiatrists and to government officials and people like that, why don't we attack that rather than reorganizing all the different areas that have grown up on their own? You know, we don't need that help necessarily. You know, your area may need that help. I don't feel like my area needs that help. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. And each home group being autonomous, these projects and this idea has nothing to do with home group autonomy. I mean, obviously there are differences of opinion about autonomy, but my home group autonomy is not being impacted, being threatened in one way or the other. And here's the thing about NA service, as far as areas, and when I use the word dictate, I don't mean that in a dictatorial, you do what I tell you to do, but what, Mike, excuse me, Mike.
I'm sorry, you used it.
Are you gonna allow me to respond to?
You've got the microphone, Greg, you talk.
But I can't talk when both of us are going back and forth, Mike. So what I'm saying to you, is when I use the word dictate, just as when I use delegate, authority, I use all different examples. Essentially, what that means is that our service bodies, trusted service and committees, they take authority and responsibility, and they take directions from our home groups. Now, you can use any word you want to use, but essentially what we're saying is that if people are involved enough, if you're not involved, you can't delegate. You can't provide that kind of direction. So, again, you know, you have to be involved to provide that.
Sorry, everybody. We are out of time for this workshop. Can we please thank our speaker, Craig R., one more time, as well as everyone else who had their questions and input. And I'm sure he'll be available outside the workshop to answer more questions, should you want to do that. Can we please close this meeting?